Over the last 2 months or so, we've been working through our gospel series, right? You guys have been paying attention to that. Some of you have already made attempts at being able to memorize this. That's awesome. We do, however, have just a little bit longer in this series. So what we're going to do tonight, we're going to continue out of what we talked about last week. The life with Jesus starts now, lasts forever, because this is where we find ourselves. If you are a Christian, you have begun your life following Christ when you placed your faith in him, and now the question is, now what, right? What do I do now that I'm a believer? And if you share your faith with someone else, this should be part of what we call your testimony, okay? I was talking with someone today. We have new parents and people who want to get involved in our student ministry, and so summer is a really good time for them to start. And so I was interviewing someone today to come and be a potential leader in our ministry. And one of the first things that I asked this person was, what is your testimony, right? And that just means your story of how you came to know Jesus Christ and to follow him with your life. And that kind of has the same, it's so funny when I talk to all of our leaders that we have and even our other pastors, here's how the story goes. I grew up, and at some point, I realized that I was a sinner. I realized that I had offended God with my actions, my thoughts, my attitudes, my words. And I realized the truth of the gospel that Jesus Christ has died to pay the price for my sin. And so I placed my trust in him. I'm going to believe the gospel to be true. And I'm going to give up my life and let him be the king. And now my life looks different because now I have hope in a future. I have security knowing that God has promised me forever with him. And I follow him with my actions, my attitudes, my words. Everything about me is now new. The passage we're going to look at in Colossians 3 today talks about this very thing. Paul is going to write to these believers, and he's going to remind them what we are to do. We are to put off the old self, and we're to put on the new self. And what does that mean? It means we put away the sinfulness. We take on what it means to be like Christ. So I want us to work through this gospel series definition that we've been working on. If you guys will, say it along with me. The gospel is God created us to be with him. Our sins separate us from God. Sins cannot be removed by good deeds. Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. Everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life, and life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. Awesome. Now, what I did not realize is the first week of this series, I was gone on a trip. And so Pastor Izzy taught for me. I appreciate that. One of the things I thought Pastor Izzy had shared with you, though, was a video that I want to show you tonight. Because if you got one of those cards a couple weeks ago, it had a guy on it, and he was like in what looked like an aircraft hangar or a big conference center or something like that. Some of you were like, who is this random guy, okay? He's not a random guy. His like stage name is Propaganda, okay? And he is a rapper / spoken word artist. And so he puts a rhyme to a lot of really good lyrics about things that are going on in our world. But this is one of the things that he did in conjunction with a conference series called Dare to Share. And what Dare to Share dares you to do is share your faith, right? Novel idea, crazy. You would never figure that out by the name. I understand. So I want to show you this video here in just a moment. We'll watch it. It's about 4 minutes, I think. And I want you to pay attention because what he does is he tells the story of the Bible pretty quickly. But what he does is he highlights these six elements of the gospel throughout it. So you're going to see how that works and why it matters as he goes through this. I understand some of you don't listen to a lot of rap or spoken word, so it may be a little bit different for you. But I want you to listen to the words in particular because there's a lot of power in it. So let's direct our attention to the screen and watch this quick video.
It's the full story of life crushed into 4 minutes. The entirety of humanity in the palm of your hand, crushed into one sentence. Listen, it's intense, right? God, our sins, paying everyone life. The greatest story ever told that's hardly ever told. God. Yes? God, the maker and giver of life. And by life, I mean any and all manner and substance, seen and unseen, what can and can't be touched, thoughts, image, emotions, love, atoms, and oceans. God. All of it is handiwork, one of which is masterpiece, made so uniquely that angels look curiously. The one thing in creation that was made with his imagery, the concept so cold, it's the reason I stay bold, how God breathed in a man and he became a living soul. Formed with the intent of being infinitely, intimately fond, creator and creation held an eternal bond. And it was placed in perfect paradise till something went wrong. A species got deceived and started lusting for his job, an odd list of complaints, as if the system ain't working, and used that same breath he graciously gave us to curse him. And that sin seed spread through our soul's genome. And by nature of your nature, your species, you participated in the mutiny, our, yes, our sins. It's nature inherited, black in the human heart. It was over before it started. Deceived from day one and led away by our own lust. There's not a religion in the world that doesn't agree that something's wrong with us. The question is, what is it? And how do we fix it? Are we eternally separated from a God that may or may not have existed? But that's another subject. Let's keep grinding. Besides, trying to prove God is like defending a lion, homie. It don't need your help. Just unlock the cage. Let's move on how our debt can be paid. Short and sweet. The problem is sin. Yes, sin. It's a cancer. An asthma, choking out our life force, forcing separation from a perfect and holy God, and the only way to get back is to get back to perfection. But silly us, trying to pass the course of life without referring to a syllabus. This is us. Keep up your good deeds. Chant, pray, meditate. But all of that, of course, is spraying cologne on a corpse. Or you could choose to ignore it as if something don't stink. It's like stepping in dog poop and refusing to wipe your shoe, but all of that ends with how good is good enough. Take your silly list of good deeds and line them up against perfection. Good luck. That's life past your pay grade. The cost of your soul, you ain't got a big enough piggy bank, but you could give it a shot. But I suggest you throw away the list, because even your good acts are an extension of your selfishness. But here's where it gets interesting. I hope you're closely listening. Please don't get it twisted. It's what makes our faith unique. Here's what God says is part A of the gospel. You can't fix yourself. Quit trying. It's impossible. Sin brings death. Give God his breath back. You owe him. Eternally separated, and the only way to fix it is someone die in your place, and that someone gotta be perfect, or the payment ain't permanent. So if and when you find a perfect person, get him or her to willingly trade their perfection for your sin and death in. Clearly, since the only one that can meet God's criteria is God, God sent himself as Jesus to pay the cost for us. His righteousness, his death, functions as payment. Yes, payment. Wrote a check with his life, but at the resurrection we all cheered, because that means the check cleared. Pierced feet, pierced hands, blood-stained son of man, fullness, forgiveness, free passage into the promised land. That same breath that God breathed into us, God gave up to redeem us. And anyone and everyone, and by everyone I mean everyone, who puts their faith and trust in him, and him alone, can stand in full confidence of God's forgiveness. And here's what the promise is, that you are guaranteed full access to return to perfect unity by simply believing in Christ and Christ alone. You are receiving life. Yes, life. God our sins, paying everyone life.
All right, so this is what we've been talking about the last several weeks, is this gospel definition that we cannot fix ourselves. There's no way, like he said, we can heap up our own good deeds. There's nothing that we can do to pay for sin. So we have to have a substitute, and this is Jesus Christ. And so when we have placed our faith in Christ, he even mentioned it there, everyone who trusts in Christ alone has eternal life. So now what does this life with Jesus look like? Because we can often fall into the understanding that life with Jesus starts when I die and go to heaven and get to be with God. The problem is that that is missing out on the rest of your life and what God desires to do with you here and now. So if you would open up your Bible to Colossians 3, that's where we're going to be studying. It's what we looked at last week, the first few verses. Tonight we are going to pick back up in verse 5. And in verse 5, he is going to work to kind of address a lot of the common things that we have in our lives that can disrupt life abundantly, which is what Jesus says he came to give us, life and life abundantly. This is a good life. It's not life richly in what the world has to offer. It's not being given like a free pass to have whatever you would like. Instead, it is the life that God has created you to be able to live. It begins now and it lasts forever. So forever with God in heaven, yes, does get included in this, but there is life here on earth that God also desires for you to live with him. So let's read through the first part here, verse 5 through 9. He says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And then he's going to give a list. He says, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. So he says, these sins that we have, and that whole list there, these sins are why God's wrath is aimed at us in our sin. And he says, though, in these you too once walked when you were living in them. So he's giving a comparison. He's saying once you lived like that. And God's wrath was aimed at you because of it. Because God hates sin. Sin is rebellion against God. It's self-idolization. That's what he talks about there, is that is idolatry. And then he gives, on the other hand, he uses that word we've talked about before, but now, okay? But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. So our first fill in the blank, if you're following along in your student guide, is going to be disciples who live in Christ put off the old self. Put off the old self. So if you are a follower of Christ, you are a Christian who has placed their faith in Jesus, how now are you to live? You're to put off the old self. And what is that old self? Well, it shows itself in things like that list there, okay? So he begins with sexual immorality, and he's talking about physical actions that, and he continues with passion, just this desire for what is not yours. Impurity, okay? So this is thoughts and intentions. So God's not just concerned with what our actions are, but also the heart, which desires those things and then causes those things to happen. So he wants to deal with that, an evil desire. Covetousness. Who knows what covetousness is? It's a big word, right? Anybody know what coveting is? Okay, so coveting is desiring for something that someone else has but is not yours. And desiring for it in an unhealthy way where you're like, man, I just wish that I had what that person has. This can be stuff. It can be popularity. It can be skills and abilities. It can be opportunities. It could be family that you're like, man, I just wish that I had what that person's life seems so much better than mine. It's desiring someone's stuff and not finding your contentment in your relationship with God. And he says all of this boils down to idolatry. Idolatry, right, goes back to the word idol. So an idol, we think of like a little statue or something that would be worshipped in many cultures. But we don't have little statues in most of our homes that you go and pray to and you worship and you bring an offering. Okay, most of you, I know that doesn't exist in your home. But what can easily exist is stuff, popularity, desires, all of that, coveting. It is having a worship mindset towards something other than God. And this is where we can be in our lives, that we can make our number one priority and the thing that gets all our affection. It can be a person, it can be stuff, it can be an idea. You're like, man, if I could only be as good a student as that person, and as athletic as this other person, and creative as that person, if I could have the game system this person has, or the purse that person has, or whatever the case is, see, our affection is aimed at something other than God. Our number one affection has got to be God before anything else. Because if it's not, it falls into idolatry, and we can easily idolize something else. You should have a blank there in your student guide. I want you to put in this word, intentionality. Okay, I-N-T-E-N-T-I-O-N-A-L-I-T-Y. Intentionality. Intentionality, because to put off the old self doesn't just automatically happen, right? And this is what we can think is, well, once upon a time at camp or on a Sunday or something, I prayed a prayer and I became a Christian. And see, if it was just automatic, Paul wouldn't have to write this in here. He wouldn't have to give them, this is a command for them to put to death what is earthly in you. We talk about a lot of times, it's like as a Christian that, yes, we have the Spirit of God living inside of us to bring us unto godliness, but we still drag around this old man, and this is the old self that I'm talking about. This is who you were before Christ. And it looks like all of these different sins in this list. But to put it to death, or to put off, as he talks about, this old self takes intentionality. You have to do it on purpose. It doesn't just automatically occur. You have to do it on purpose. If you want to become like Christ in your life, you're going to have to do things on purpose. You're going to have to look at yourself and see what is it going on in my heart and in my actions which do not look like Christ. What are those things? You can ask yourself this. You can ask a trusted friend. You can ask one of our leaders or me or someone that you would trust to be able to do that in a kind way. Not somebody that's going to say, let me come and tell you all the things that are wrong with you. Okay, and just tear you down and make you feel terrible. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is finding someone who can identify those things in your life and say, you know what, sometimes your attitude shows this weakness. And you could go, ooh, I never noticed that about myself. Because some of the things are very obvious to us. Me and Mr. Rob talked about this earlier today, that there are things oftentimes which are obvious, just like fruit on a tree, that you can see, wow, that's an apple tree because it's covered in apples. Makes sense, right? Those are obvious things. But underneath that tree is a whole system of roots. And those roots, if you cut off all the apples, you pick all the apples off of it, but you leave the rest, you leave that root system, give it some time and it'll start springing up fruit again. God wants to desire, he wants to work in our heart, not just on the outer actions. So he wants to change the things that you actually love and that you desire so that you wouldn't be caught up in coveting and in idolatry and in all of these things that we get caught up in, because our heart, our number one desire is to love God with all that we are. And this takes being intentional, doing it on purpose. You're not just going to gain your Bible by putting it under your pillow at night and somehow through osmosis it'll just work its way into your brain, okay? You actually have to take time to read it. You have to take time to think about what it said. I don't know about you, but sometimes I've read my Bible and just read the words like it was a reading assignment or something. And then I hoped that somehow that would just work its way into my mind and that I'd become more like Christ that way. Instead of actually reading it to see what does it say? What does it mean? Like, how does this matter in my life? So we have to intentionally put off the old self, this sin, and we have to deal with the inner problem. Give it to God. Just imagine if you still had on like your sweaty gym clothes and that kind of thing, and you're like, man, I am disgusting. And then you just never dealt with it. You tried to put on new clothes. What would end up happening? They'd get pretty gross. They'd be affected by the old dirty clothes. But also they would catch a lot of the stuff as you go through life, and that would be dirty. But what do we do instead? We wash our clothes, right? We put on new, fresh ones. And this is the comparison that he makes here. He says to take it off. The word that's being used is just like what it would mean to take off a piece of clothing. And to instead, he's going to say in the next little portion here, in verses 10 through 12, is put on the new self, right? And this is your next blank. Disciples who live in Christ put on the new self. And this is a little more straightforward because the new self is very much the opposite of the old self. Kind of works that way, right? Old and new, they're opposites. Antonyms, right? You guys know what that word means, right? It's the opposite of synonyms. it is opposed to it. So where our old self is sinful and self-centered and does not please God, the new self is sinless, is selfless, and is glorifying to God, makes much of who he is. Look with me in verse 10. He says, and have put on the new self. So you've put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. What is he talking about there? Because a lot of that is confusing. So to put on the new self, this is a new identity that we have in Christ. We're not defined as first being Americans, as first being a student or a pastor or whatever your last name is, you know, that I'm a shepherd. And from the time I was a very young child, I knew I am a shepherd. That's part of my identity. But see, the new self comes with a new identity. It's defined by who God says that I am instead. It's not about what I do, what I'm capable of. Instead, it's about what Christ has done and what God is capable of. And so now we have this new person to put on, and it is the Holy Spirit that we put on. And this also takes intentionality, but even more than intentionality, the word that I want you to put in is continually. Because this is something we do continually. We can easily fall into the mindset, like I said, of I prayed a prayer once, I walked an aisle, I gave my life to Christ, and that is great. And if you've never done that, you need to receive Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. But putting on the new self, this is a continuous thing. It's something that we have to do day in and day out. That it doesn't just help. You know, the other day, this was, man, like the worst part of my month so far. I had to get some fillings. And I hate getting fillings. I had some cavities in my teeth. I had dreaded it for weeks. I was not looking forward to it. And I was not excited about it. How do you get cavities? Well, right, you don't brush your teeth and plaque builds up or whatever and it starts to eat away. So the dentist had to tell me, hey, Scott, how often do you brush your teeth? And I said, well, I did it. And they were like, what? I was like, oh, I brushed my teeth. They were like, yeah, how often? I was like, no, I did it once. Did that make sense? No.
Once in your life.
No. It wouldn't make sense for me to say, once upon a time I brushed my teeth and then I expected my teeth to be fine. Now listen, when you place your faith in Christ, you are saved. There's not some like thing where if you then sin after that you lose your salvation. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I am talking about is that you have to intentionally and continually put on this new self. That every day you've got to wake up and say, today is a new opportunity for me to be an ambassador for Christ. Today is a new opportunity where I will have chances to either live according to the old self or according to my new identity in Christ. And today, I'm making the decision that I am going to follow in my identity in Christ. And then you know what happens? About 5 minutes later, you have the opportunity, the first one of the day. Your parents tell you to do something. You can either backtalk them, disobey them, ignore them. I mean, you got a bunch of options there. But you also have the option to honor, to obey, to do your very best. And then after that, you've got an opportunity where one of your siblings does something that irritates you. So you have the opportunity to either love them or to act, as he says in this next little part, with anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene speech, right? But those are all things that are the old self. They're who we were before Christ. And so Paul is commanding and he's reminding us, you've got to do this continually. You can't just come in here on Wednesday night and think that it is like filling up a car tank with gas and now you'll be good for another week. That's ridiculous. Continually. Reminding yourself continually. He uses this phrase in here in verse 10, being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Who's our creator? This should be resounding, everyone. God. Okay, it's an easy one, I know, but I gave you an easy one. God is our creator. And if God is our creator, and it says that we're being renewed in knowledge of our creator, it would make sense we need to fill ourselves with this knowledge. And how do we do that? This is another super easy Christian-y answer. Read your Bible, okay? Read your Bible. Pay attention at Lyft, at Ascend, on Sunday morning. Filling yourselves with knowledge of God. Because as you get to know more and more of who God is, who Jesus is, how he lived on earth as an example for us, that then we can turn around and live like that according to our new identity. There are some great songs that we sing very often. One of them that has been on the radio, and I think we've sung before, talks about, I am who you say I am. You guys heard that song? Okay, well, listen to like any Christian radio station, and it comes on probably like once an hour. Because and that part of that song is so good because the idea that I am not defined by what the world says about me, what I think about myself sometimes. Because I can even be wrong about my own identity. I can get really hard on myself. And like, just, man, you're the worst. You fail. So many other people can do what you're trying to do much better than you. And if I allow that kind of thinking to be my definition, or if I allow other people talking like that to be my definition, then my identity is going to be doing this number, right? Ridiculous. Up and down. I think I'm awesome because somebody told me I did a good job. And now I'm the worst because I don't feel successful. Instead, my identity, who I am, is based on who God says that I am. And so I'm continually reminding myself of who it is God has called me to be, who he's empowered me to be. And then I'm being renewed in my mind about, wow, that was not living according to what God has called me to. That's something I need to repent of. That's something I need to surrender to the Lord. You know what? The next time when my mom or dad asks me to do something, I have a new opportunity. And next time, Lord, help me to see that opportunity and to follow through, to honor my parents, or to do my best in my schoolwork. Because what we're going to see next week is in this next little passage down there, if you look at verse 17, he says, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That everything you do has the opportunity to either magnify God or to act as if God doesn't really matter. That it's okay for you to just give a weak offering of worship. It's okay if I just do a mediocre job at this. God doesn't deserve my best. And I think if I asked each of you, does God deserve your best? You would say yes. The problem is that a lot of times we function differently than that, right? That a lot of times I don't actually give God my best all day long. Maybe I start out really well, or maybe in the afternoon I finally am awake and now I'm a pleasant person to be around, but for the last 4 hours I was a terrible person and it was really bad to be around me. Like, some of y'all know when you see somebody at school in the morning, you're like, they're having a bad day and I need to stay away from them. You know what I'm talking about? Where you're like, oh, I can just tell that person right there is just yikes. Sometimes we can be that person though, right? Some of y'all on spring break, I got to see you at like 8 a.m. when you've been working all week and you were tired, and then it was beach day, and y'all were like, that guy looked at me and now I'm angry. You know, like, it didn't matter what somebody did, you were just not going to be a pleasant person to be around. And this is part of what he talks about in those verses right there, just after this, in verse 8. He talked about anger, which is like an internal bitterness about us. And we can host that. The wrath that he talks about, it's interesting because the wrath he mentions is a different wrath than the wrath of God, which was aimed at us that he talked about. Remember that? That God's wrath was aimed at us because of our old sinful ways. See, that's a justified wrath. God is right in having wrath toward sin. The wrath that he's talking about is when you're just so angry that it boils out and you just have like an outburst of anger, right? Anybody done that before? Or you're like, oh yeah, somebody made me so angry and I just wanted to like do something to get this person out, and I didn't care if I knocked him out or if I pushed him or if I told him off or whatever. That bitterness and anger inside wells up and explodes. And this is the old self. He's reminding us that's not who you are. Malice of the, like a moral evil, slander, talking bad of others. Some of you guys are really bad about this. And let me just let you know, we got to be really careful not to be talking bad about other people. Like, if you wouldn't say it to their face in a way to help them, you don't need to say it. You definitely don't need to be sharing that with somebody else. Slander, tearing someone down, gossip, talking about somebody behind their back. I mean, I hope that if we were talking about somebody and then it just divulged into, yeah, let me tell you about what they're doing right now. Real bad. But one of us needs to say, you know what? Well, let's talk with them about that. Because if you're having a conversation about someone else and bringing up things about that person that they're struggling with or something, and you're not doing it in a way that's actually going to help them, you are in sin. And this is what comes out of that old self. Now, of course, he says obscene speech is one of the things that we also struggle with. And this can be crude jokes. This can be using God's name in vain. And of course, we know about where people use God's name in vain, and we think about it being used like a curse word, but really the way that this is being talked about means that using God's name in a way that doesn't hold it up as holy, as important, powerful. As we sung earlier, we sung about Jesus, the name above any other name. That's because the name of Jesus has power. It means Savior. So when we talk about Jesus in some way that makes little of him, or if we are talking about Jesus and then our actions are making little of who he is, that means that we're falling prey of this sin right here. So we have to intentionally, continually seek to put off the old self and put on the new self, to live in line with our new identity that God has given us in Christ. So our life now looks a little more and more every day like Jesus. little less and less like ourselves. I saw something really funny I wanted to show you guys. If we don't do this, we can end up looking like the guy I'm about to show you in a second. This guy holds the current world record for the most t-shirts worn at the same time. Check this out. Anybody want to guess? We'll start low. How many t-shirts they think that might be? Okay, lower. It was lower than 500 something, all right. Lower?
100.
Okay, higher? Ooh, closer, but a little higher. Okay, a little higher? Higher than 240. How is that 156? No, higher.
299.
No, it was higher. 260. Did you look it up on Google? Maybe. Or Bing or Yahoo Answers or something. 260. 260 t-shirts. You know the guy underneath that's got to be as big as that kid around. Like, he's wearing 260 t-shirts. Imagine if what he did was for, how many would that be? Like, 30 weeks that he didn't take off his t-shirt. He just put on another one. Imagine, you would be wearing t-shirts from, like, September or something like that. Can you imagine that? Now, he didn't do that, but imagine all the grossness you would have if you were not continually taking off and putting on new. That would be super gross. The stench would be overwhelming. You would look like that Charlie Brown character that just has a little cloud of dust that goes with him, right? Pigpen. He just, everywhere he goes. See, this is how we are if we're not intentionally submitting ourselves to the Lord, removing that old self and saying, God, today help me not to act like I used to be before Christ. Today, let me live as a reflection of who Jesus is. Let me love others with compassion. Let me honor those who you've placed in authority over me, like my parents and my teachers and my pastors. Lord, today help me to be like Jesus would be in this moment. Because we have these opportunities day in and day out. You may or may not have an opportunity that you really realize that you can start working through that gospel definition with somebody that, like, wow, this person just asked me how to become a Christian. Now I can tell them this. But every single day, you have the opportunity to take off the old self, put on the new self, and demonstrate through your words, your actions, your attitudes, what Christ looks like through your life. When we match that up together with what the gospel says, people are going to notice something is hugely different about who you are. Because you're not going to look like that anymore. Okay? There's going to be a big difference. And I think if you want to be who God has called you to be, not talking about 30 years from now or when you graduate high school, I'm talking about tomorrow. If you want to begin being who Christ has called you to be, you've got to make that decision. I'm tired of acting in line with the old self, and God, starting now, I want to put on the new self. I want to be like you have created me to be. So yes, we read our Bible so we get to know who that is. And we spend time throughout the day in prayer, actually talking with God about what's going on. And little by little, we're surrendering to the Lord. We take one thing off and we realize, all right, I'm no longer saying those, you know, obscene things about other people. I'm not slandering anymore. Okay, so imagine taking off that old self. Well, underneath that, maybe you realize, yeah, but I still have heart problems against that person that I need to deal with. I need to reconcile that relationship and apologize. And when you realize that, you realize, man, I'm not doing a good job of honoring my parents. Need to work on that. Surrender that to the Lord. None of us have, you know, all of us are somewhere between this and you know, the kid on the side that just got one or two left. We're not going to do it on our own. We've got to have God work in us. What I want to challenge you, though, to do is to make the commitment that I am going to spend each day a portion of my time saying this to myself, God, help me to take off the old self and help me to live with the new self on. I think if you do that, and you're not just saying it, you actually mean it, and you're actually giving God an honest offering, that he'll be faithful to work in your life. He's going to give you opportunities that are going to be challenging, but it's going to grow you. And you will become who God has called you to be in this life, now, not just in eternity with God in heaven, now. I want you to make that decision. I'm done playing around with this. I'm going to really live for Christ. Let me pray with you guys. Lord, this text can be challenging for us because we see so many of the things that we struggle with, and some of the things that maybe we don't think that we do. Lord, as we surrender to you with our life and ask you to help take off the things that we're doing that look like the old self, Lord, help us to also embrace Christ as our example, that we would interact each day in a way that brings you glory and honor rather than trying to get recognition for ourselves, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your word. Help us not to make light of it and just kind of leave it laying around and doesn't really matter, but instead to take it, to read it, to see what it says, and then apply it in our lives, Lord, so that we can become exactly who you've called us to be. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.